Anti-immigration protests seem to have become a regular fixture of the Australian news cycle lately. Though according to the ABC, the protests in October have been quite a bit smaller than rallies back in August. In the UK, of course, there have been massive anti-immigration rallies. CNN reported that the September rally was attended by around 110,000 people. That is the dramatic context for the 2025 Colin Clark lecture at the University of Queensland on the 29th of October, in which Tim Hatton, Professor of Economics at the ANU and the University of Essex, looks at the relationship between immigration, public opinion, and public policy. The lecture's titled Three Decades of Migration and Policy, What Have We Learnt? Professor Tim Hatton, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Could we set the scene by getting a sense of, just in terms of numbers, what's happened with immigration flows over the last few decades? Have they broadly increased?
So it has increased dramatically. If we look at the share of population foreign-born in the more developed parts of the world, we can see that in Western Europe, for example, which I've been particularly interested in, the percentage of foreign-born in the population has gone from 6.2% in 1990 to 14.8% in 2024. In Australia and New Zealand combined, it's gone from 22 to 30, and from in North America from 9.8 to 15.9%. So dramatic increases over the long run in the share of population that are foreign born.
So I suppose that raises the question, Tim, and it's one you address in your lecture. Does that reflect more permissive immigration policies?
If we look at measures of immigration policy that have been used by social scientists and economists in particular, they've developed a sort of quantitative measures of this. And what we see there is that there are contrasting effects. One is that policies on border control have become very much tighter over the last 30 years or so. Whereas, by contrast, policies towards integrating migrants into the economies and societies have become more positive, and policies on who can enter and who can stay have also become more positive, so less restrictive, in other words. So that there is a distinct long-run trend in those different measures.
Yeah, so tighter border control, but at the same time, much larger numbers overall. That in itself is interesting. Tim, you say in your lecture that most economists are basically pro-immigration. Can you explain why?
So if we went back 30 years or so, the main focal points of work by economists on migration were, first of all, looking at immigrant assimilation, which means how quickly do immigrants catch up with the sort of economic and social norms of the society that they enter. And the other one is, what was the effect of bursts of immigration on wages and incomes in the receiving country? So that was a sort of key element. And economists focused on that particularly because they thought that was the thing that related most directly to policy. And what they found is that in some cases, you could identify negative effects on wages, but for the society as a whole, there were sort of overall positive effects. And the overall results are really there's heterogeneity. There are differences in the effects, but the economic effects are not all that large. Where there are larger effects are basically on the results for immigrants themselves, who benefit a lot from immigration. So if you then think of the sort of worldwide implications of that, they are sort of wholly positive. And so as a result of that, economists have, on the whole, been pro-immigration. They've been sort of supporting immigration policies that are more permissive. And a lot of people think that the policies in Western countries, broadly speaking, have been too restrictive, despite the fact that, as we've seen, the numbers have gone up dramatically over the years. And so that's what sort of led economists to think that policies should perhaps even be looser than they have been. In that time, economic research has broadened into a whole variety of other dimensions of immigration. They include things like the brain drain. Is that good, bad for origin countries? Is there a brain gain involved? Looking at return migration, because we know that when we look at migrants, there's a lot of migrants coming in, but a lot of migrants leaving as well. So there's a constant churning going on. Looking at who exactly it is who comes as compared with the source population from which they're coming. Are they people who have got more skills or more education and so on? And then also the last thing which people have focused on, not surprisingly in the last decade, is asylum. And that's largely because of the huge asylum crises that have occurred in Europe, particularly in 2015, 16, and then again with Ukraine in 2022 and onwards.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Professor Tim Hatton about his Colin Clark lecture for 2025 on three decades of migration. So we've seen over 30 years an increase in the proportion of the population that's been born outside most countries around the developed world, as you've described it. Over that time, has there been a dramatic and maybe corresponding increase in negative attitudes towards immigration?
Well, that's interesting, and it's a topic which has received attention recently among economists, because you might think from the popular press and so on that attitudes have become more negative. I've looked in particular at the European Social Survey, which covers the majority of Western European countries, and the distinct finding there is that there's a downward trend in average anti-immigration opinion. So that what that means precisely is that people are asked in the survey whether they would like to see more immigration or many immigrants, some, a few, or none. And so if you look at the division between those people who are suggesting a few or none and the rest, that anti-immigration measure has decreased over the years from about 50% to now about 40%. That's an average across 19 countries. So it's not at all clear that attitudes to immigration have become more negative. In fact, they've become more positive on the whole.
That's really interesting because, as you say, if you were to follow the news, you would probably get a quite different impression. So what do you think is happening, Tim? Is it simply that the anti-immigration sentiment is more vocal and prominent in the media now?
So I think the media is important, and there have been some studies which have emphasized the fact that people's access to different media sources, which include obviously newspapers but also social media, have sort of tended to amplify, if you like, the both negative and positive ends of the opinion spectrum. And one of the things that I've kind of emphasized in my work is that although there's a range of opinion, and there's always a range of opinion, it's shifted slightly towards a more pro-immigration view. But the thing which is, I think, important when we're thinking about the link between these attitudes and policy is the fact that policymakers obviously have to listen to the people who elect them. And what matters really is how important an issue immigration is in people's minds. So it's not just whether you think there should be more or less immigration, but how important an issue you think it is. That's what magnifies these attitudes. And of course, that means that they're both ends of the spectrum are being magnified by the fact that there's increased salience of migration. You can see that very clearly, for example, in Europe during the 2015-16 Syrian crisis, when Syrian migrants were coming via Turkey into Europe, and salience goes through the roof, basically. It shoots right up. And of course, that then concentrates the minds of policymakers in a way that wasn't the case before. And we've seen that what that did was to basically cause the European Union to rethink its asylum policies and to issue a new set of proposed policies in 2020 called the Pact for Migration and Asylum, which is now just sort of coming into legislation actually in 2024 and will come into effect in 2026.
So if there's a distinction between, if you like, the overall sentiment or preference, as you describe it, and salience, how important people feel immigration is as an issue at the particular time. What do we know about what the drivers of salience are?
So they are similar to the drivers of preference. Basically, what we see when we look at whether people prefer more or less immigration is that the variable that seems to be the most important is people's level of education. The more educated people are, and that includes university education, tertiary education more generally, the less anti-immigration they are. Now, we also see that when we look at individual responses to questions on salience as well. But it's not, the education variable is not as strong there, and other things also come in. What's really important, though, is not so much individual characteristics, but the way in which immigration or asylum issues have been highlighted to them, obviously through the press or through other things like social media, when they see, for example, boats arriving, that's really what drives salience rather than sort of individual characteristics of the people who are responding to the questionnaires.
So it's about the way and the amount that immigration is talked about, both in the public debate, and presumably that flows down to conversations between people on the street, so to speak. Does that mean, Tim, that broad things like just how well the economy is going at a particular time, interest rates, those sorts of things, are less directly formative of increases in anti-immigration sentiment?
So what typically happens is that when other issues come to the fore, so for example, if you take the global financial crisis, immigration issues became less important in people's minds then because the economic crisis was dominating. Once the economic crisis recedes, then other issues come to the fore again. One of them, of course, is immigration.
In terms of what's happened in Australia, you characterise Australia as shifting to border tightening, but then also an increased focus on resettlement.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that? And to what extent you think that can or should be applied in other places like the EU, and what would happen if it was?
So I think that one of the recent developments in looking at people's attitudes is to go beyond the simple measures of do you want more or less immigration and how salient is it, but to think about the specific things that people are concerned about. Well, what are the underlying issues that sort of raise people's concerns? And obviously, unauthorized migration is one of them, and people are very, very negative about that. But at the same time, if you look at ask people, for example, what they think about genuine refugees, should the country be hosting genuine refugees, they're very positive about that. So basically, if you sort of drill down a little bit into the sort of the dimensions of people's attitudes, what underlies their overall attitudes, you can think a little bit more about how to frame policy in a way which will be helpful to migrants, which will be, you know, good or at least not bad for the economy, but at the same time will work with the grain of public opinion rather than against it, as I think what has happened in Europe in recent years. So if I give you one example in the context of recent developments in Europe, that is the comparison between the Syrian crisis of 2015-16 and the Ukrainian crisis of 2022 and onwards. Those have been very different. And one of the reasons is that the European Union has responded differently to policy, to the crisis. And in particular, it has activated for the first time the Temporary Protection Directive, which was never used before, even though it was established in 2001 in the aftermath of the Kosovo crisis. And what that did was to basically bring in the Ukrainians without going through a complicated asylum procedure, without sort of them having to get on boats or to, you know, try and get across fences in land borders and so on. And that kept the salience low, At the same time, people recognized that these people were genuine refugees because they could see what the crisis was that was driving them. And so all that was done. And now there are something like 4.4 million Ukrainians in European countries who are there as refugees without really inflaming people's passions about it.
It's a fascinating analysis. Thank you for making your salient points about salience and other aspects of migration policy with us on Sunday Extra, Tim.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
That's Professor Tim Hatton, who's a professor in economics at both the ANU and the University of Essex. And his 2025 Colin Clark lecture is titled Three Decades of Migration and Policy, What Have We Learned?
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.